Father, thank you again for the precious word of God. Lord, we have to understand, we don't have a monopoly on you, but we thank you that the word of God, we still believe this is God's holy word. And I believe with all my heart, Lord, if a person will honestly seek to understand what God wants, not have a programmed mind to want to make fit where my frame or what I think, but do my best to understand it from God's word, then spend the time that's needed, that God will reveal truths. We won't get it all because this is a divine book. We're not divine. We have a divine nature. But Lord, we have to filter it to the flesh. And a lot of things get lost as we filter everything to the flesh. And there's some people have four or five things that they do or don't do, and they think that's all there is to it. And boy, they're top of the world and everything else. They're going to find out one day when they stand before you, there's more to it than that. God has given us in-depth instruction about life, how we should live, what we should yield to, how we should respond to you. And Lord, that comes after we know Christ as Savior. So help us tonight, as our brothers already prayed, to understand those things that's needed to give us that life to be pleased in you first, and then in turn be used of you for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Now if we go back, and we got down about verse 4-5 last week. And let me just go back and say this again. These instructions ought to give us is not teaching on the fact about adultery per se, though it is showing pure law of God about adultery, one of the commandments of the Old Testament. And the reason the Apostle Paul used this at this time is showing us that how what has happened to us who have been saved when it comes to the law. And what he's setting forth in this book at this time, that the law is holy, it's right, but at the same time, it's been broken. Now, I used the illustration last week about this street out here being 35 miles an hour. Did you know? If we know that law is there or don't know that law's there, if you break it and get caught and have to pay the penalty, you'll know it's there. Now, the thing about this, that law out there is not that the citizens of Clayton can be exempt of. You know that? We can't. Living in Clayton don't exempt us from that law. That law's not meant for those who don't live in Clayton, come down and get caught and have to pay the penalty. That law on that street is for anybody who travels on that street. I don't care who they are. Now, think about this. That law on that street don't govern that law out here on 50 Highway or 70 Highway. You get on it. In fact, they tell me now if you get on it, drive 35 miles an hour and you can get a ticket for going too slow. If you go beyond 55 or 60, maybe 65-year-old, you get a ticket going too fast. And again, it don't mean that those in Johnson County exempt who's a member of the county. It means anybody who travels on that road. I'm trying to give you an understanding about the law, and when it's broken, there's a penalty. Now, the thing about this is, if you go out there and break the law on Main Street, you'll have to pay the penalty. You might get somebody else to pay it for you if you didn't have the money, but you're still responsible for the penalty. Right? On the other hand, when you think about that law, and that's the thing, when you look about the crudeness of the law, and then you move to what God's law, what these laws are to us, municipality, is like what God's law is to him about his kingdom. And he's got it documented. And so we have to understand that when you think about that law out there, you have to pay that penalty. And most of us have paid that penalty somewhere or another of that law, that type of law has been broken, right? The only problem is God is letting us know his law, you and I can't pay that penalty. Now, I hit this a little bit last week. If we can't, somebody has to pay it for us. And what he's showing us now that when it's pure law and it's broken, we don't have no excuse for it. It's going to have to be paid. And if we don't, we can't pay it. And he tells us we can't because he tells us we can't be saved by keeping the law. There's no one, he's told us over and over already, no one can be saved by keeping the law. Therefore, the penalty is still there. And since we can't pay it, then if it's not paid for us, then we have such consequence. And God's law is not this law, like out here. It's simple, but it's smaller than his law. God's law requires the penalty. And for humanity who breaks it, and every human being does break it, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, has death hanging over him. The wages of sin is death. And the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. So the death is hanging over him. And if it cannot be paid, that law cannot be paid to meet the criteria, then that person will enter into a place that God calls for eternity without the payment being paid and be abandoned by God forever. in hell or in the final lake of fire. On the other hand, God is saying, now I prove to man that my law is holy, it's right. By the way, that law on that street out there is just as much for the citizen of Clayton as it is those outside of Clayton. I said that a few minutes ago. Well, here we are now. God's law don't just cease for us because we're born again. God's law is just as strict on us now since we're saved it was before we got saved. There's nowhere that God told us that, you know, there's a law that he's made and unsaved have to keep that law. Now, you and I didn't keep that law. Now we're saved and been paid for that God has exempted. No, God never exempts us from his law completely in our own energy. Why? He tells us over and over, it's holy, it's good, it's pure. What the law does is reveal to us what is destroying us. The wages of sin is death. Not a wage of the law. The law itself shows us what sin is. And that's what Paul is trying to show us. And he showed how strong this is, that if a person now is married, and the law says to death do they part, that once that person dies, mate dies, they're free from that law to marry whoever they want to marry. And he's using this as an example of what Christ has done for us. Not saying that person cannot be saved, because I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, there's more to God's law than the Ten Commandments. And by the way, there's Ten Commandments. Most times, some of them broke that today. Have you used the Lord's name in vain? It's not me. Let me ask you something. Sometimes a person won't say, well, I don't use God's name in vain, but yet they do. How? Any way that's strung other than prayer to God? This is pure law, though. I'm showing you. So I won't do that. Let me see. Have you ever said, and God forgive me for saying it, but I'm setting an example, godly? Did you know that's God's name in vain? Have you ever said, Jesus Christ? And it won't in a state of worship, but it's in a weight of a sling. You know, that's God's name in vain. But what we've done, we've softened it so much, if we don't put that big handle on it somehow or another and make it sound so bad, that it can't be nothing wrong with it. So I'm telling you, we don't determine what saying God's name in vain. He did. He said, thou shalt not use thy Lord thy God's name in vain. And by the way, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. So I'm saying to you, I'm glad I can speak about him, talk about him, and use his name in the right term. But if I use it out of slang somehow, now somebody go out here and be upset, I get. But I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if you look at pure law, you're going to find, even now that you and I say, we need the grace of God. We need the blood of Christ. Now, what happens is Paul is showing us here, though, what's taking place. God's law is holy. And we look in verse 5 with me, he says, now, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which are by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. The motions of sin was the law is activated, or the law activates sin so you can see it in what it is. That law does not cause us to sin. God didn't give it as a curse to cause us to sin. He gave us to show it activates sin, to know what it is, and there is a curse because it's been broken, showing us what the sin. Wages of sin is death, and the law shows us what sin is, so we understand why death comes. And notice he said, the motions of sin, which by the law did work in the members to bring forth fruit unto death. In other words, the law was given to show you what sin is and show bringing forth sin, which is fruit unto death. The law shows us why we're going to die physically and eternally if we don't have it paid for. But now watch the next verse. See, sometimes people get hung up on this, and they say, this is so bad. The next thing they know, they're so holy. Listen, he gave this thing of divorce as an example to show us what happened to us in the Lord. And why we are condemned. And why is it that Christ did what he did to pay the sin debt for us? Watch what he said in verse 6. But now, I like that. Once he tells us the situation, he says, but now, watch this, we are delivered from the law. Wait a minute. Delivered how? How? From the curse of the law. We are, but then how, Paul? How am I delivered from the curse? He said, we, the children of God, that's who he's talking about, we are delivered from the law. Now watch what he says. That being dead, wherein we were held. In other words, that law had completely brought us to the place and held us with the penalty of sin. because it had been broken. And God had to take innocent lambs in the Old Testament to cover it until he could come and take it away in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on and he says, being dead, watch this, that being dead there, wherein we were hailed, why? That we should serve, watch these next phrase, in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. He said now it's not the oldness of the letter because that still condemns us. And the only reason why we can do it in the newness of the Spirit, this is the type of a divine dealing that God deals with us today. One is through the law, which condemns, and the other is through the Holy Spirit, which God has given us information about. Once we get saved, he gives us his Spirit with his word to show how we can grow now into that. Not that the fact that we keep the law, but God helps us establish it now because we're born again. In other words, whoever knew anything about it, we ought to certainly be able to let the Lord help us with the law, because that will manifest to others who we are and what we're doing as far as life is concerned. And so the difference, I say again, is though, where you might and I might pay that law out there, but this is not a citizen of a traffic ticket, you and I cannot pay the sin debt. And there's no way we can. And if you go back, I read before, and he told you in places back here before that there's no way you could be saved by the law. The law takes, in verse 20, if you see in chapter 3, he says, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified. That means you can't keep the law and find yourself declared right in God's sight. Why? Because you can't keep the law. If you could have completely, you wouldn't need Christ. Because the law couldn't condemn you. I ain't getting to you, am I? That law can't condemn you on that street out there unless you break it. And the only thing you can do then, if you're caught breaking it. The only thing about this, God's law, all of us get caught. He sees it. And so what happens, when we get caught breaking it, we have to pay the penalty. We've been caught breaking God's law, but we can't pay the penalty. And may I say to you again, that's the reason why he's letting us see. He delivers from the curse of that law because Jesus Christ paid the penalty for us. And now he's showing us how that works, the rest of these verses, in us as children of God. If you want to grow in grace and knowledge, you want to back off and we'll come up short and play at the end and be saved at the end if you're saved, trust the Lord, but lose rewards and everything else, because this Bible has a lot to say in 1 Corinthians 3 and others about rewards in heaven when we get there. And so I get, when I see what he said here, there's the newness of Spirit. Now, God has delivered from the curse of the law, but he's given me the newness of his Spirit. I don't know. That's the reason he said, I give you my Holy Spirit. See the difference? If you're not born again, you don't have the Spirit of God. If you are born again, you have it because God promised to give it to us. And he's gave us his word and preserved it that we may grow thereby and see inside what has happened. Now, Paul knew he was going to have a problem with this statement. Because when you look at verse 7, you see what he's talking about. He said what? Look in verse 7 now. Very immediately after he said, he explained about that law, and where that now you're married to another, that is, where the law had you bound, and it's like you've been married to it. He said now you're married to another, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, into the family of God, which in turn he paid the price for you. Then he said this, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Now, this to me is sin. This someone said, well, if I really believe that, I just thank God and live a sinful life. But he said, well, wait a minute. What shall we say then? No, away with that thought. Is the law sin? I mean, is the law give me the privilege to do something that I can sin against God and not have any bearing whatsoever? No, whatsoever. None whatsoever. Jesus paid the sin debt, but there's a suffer of loss for the child of God in many ways, in service, in rewards, and not using their talents. When we get to heaven, ladies and gentlemen, do you know God has one of the greatest recording outfits that man's ever seen? Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that God has said, and I'm working on a message right now that just touched me not too long ago, God says that every word, every idle word that we say, saved or unsaved, there's a record of it. Did you know that even after we're saved as a child of God, the books that God puts at the great white throne judgment those who are unsaved. But do you know that you and I who are saved, children of God, that even after we're saved, God still tells us, Jesus made this statement when he was here, and I won't get into it now, but I will later, I'll preach a message on it, that God holds us responsible for every idle word. And he says we're going to be judged by the words we say, whether we're saved or not saved. The only difference is the unsaved are judged by that what been unsaved. It's a different throne. They're at the great white throne of judgment. That's where the books are full. But you and I that are saved go before the bema seat of Christ for rewards. And you're going to find this works together. Now, I didn't get no further. I got you confused enough. I look at your face till then. But when I get to it, you understand it. I'm doing my best. I'm praying that God to help us get brass roots and study deep things of the Word of God so we can understand for ourselves. If nothing else, for ourselves. That God hears where I'm at before you. And I'm glad I see that. I mean, I want to give you everything I got. I want to give you my life because the depth of what you've done for me is more than what I knew 56 years ago when I got saved. It's more. It's blessed, folks. I'm glad I don't just want to have a sticker going to heaven. I have a Holy Spirit living in me, the Word of God, that God wants me to be what I can be, the best I can be. And I'm sure many of you have more talents than I do because of my mind like it is and have studied so hard. But I'll tell you this, when you get it, God will keep it there for you. And you're going to see, it don't make us the best Christian in the world. It just makes us a Christian that believes what God has to say. It don't make us super Christians. It makes it simply, well, we want your will more than anything else in this world. That's all that matters. Then I noticed he said, what shall we say then? Is this law sin? God forbid. Nay. Here's Paul. He's going to lay out why he said this. Now he said, nay. He said, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law say thou shalt not covet. He said, no one ever known lust unless God has said thou shalt not covet. No one ever known thou shalt not take the Lord God's name in vain unless God said that. What it does, the law is actually activating what sin is so we can see it. That's the reason when Adam and Eve sinned up to the time God gave the law, God didn't, the law didn't, the law was not in such a way that condemned like it did after they learned it, yet man died. If you go to Romans chapter 5, verse 12, man died anyhow, though they didn't have the law like what God gave to Moses. Then notice what he said. He said, nay, but I have not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And watch. Then he said, but sin taking the occasion. In other words, when the law was revealed, when the law revealed what sin is, he said then what he's talking about, but sin taking occasion. Sin took an opportunity then to bring about the slaying of him like it does. The wages of sin is death. That's when he saw sin leading to death, which the law revealed. Then he said, but sin take away the commandment wrought in me and all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. Now, we go back, I had not known lust except the law had said this, thou shalt not covet. Now, but sin take an occasion or an opportunity, sin took an opportunity here by the commandment, that's the law, it wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, that means lust. In other words, when I saw what the law said, I understood what I was lusting after. It revealed to me, whether it be things, whether it be, you know, it lust of the flesh. It brought about the lust of the eyes. When you have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that's what it brought about. It revealed that in detail rather than just in some kind of general category. Then he said this, for without the law, sin was dead. In other words, if you didn't have the law, it's inactive. How can I show that? Go back to the street with me again. If there's no law on that street, they can't get you if you're running 45 miles an hour on that street. If you run down it without getting hurt. Why? There's no law there. But they ain't put a law there. And have you ever been somewhere or another when the town would put a sign up of what you can run on the street, miles per hour? And you lived on that street period of time, and all of a sudden you've been driving down one day, and that light comes up, and you say, wait a minute, what's going on here? There's a law on this street. You can't drive with 35 miles an hour now. Well, I never knew it. It makes no difference. If it's on there, where you didn't have it before, now you have it. If his law is made, you might have known the law was made and lived on the street. But that don't keep you from the exempt of the law. That don't make us exempt. It don't keep us from the penalty I should have the law. Because it don't make us exempt just because we don't know it. And that's what God is telling us. His law, I don't care. Listen, it doesn't matter where men in this world from Adam's day to our day, especially from Moses' day to our day when it was given, whether they knew the law or not, the whole world is guilty of before it. Because it condemns. It doesn't give life. The only way you can give life is one to keep you entirely. No one's ever done that but the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this, for I was alive, notice he's without the law, sin was dead. In other words, it was inoperable. When you didn't have no law, there's no way in the world that a policeman can stop you anywhere in this country and give you a ticket for something there's no law about. Right? Right? But once the law is made and put up and put in force, then they can. That's what he's saying here. Then he said, for I was alive without the law once. He said, man, I was living it without the law, didn't have the law. Anything goes, I guess, except what's in your own mind. I was alive without the law once. On the road to Damascus, he was alive without the law. In fact, he was killing Christians thinking he was doing God a service. Isn't that amazing? God said, thou shalt not kill. And yet he was killing Christians thinking he was doing God a service. Those Jews were killing Christ thinking they were doing away with something. And yet God's law said, thou shalt not kill. Did that make Paul have the right to kill Christians just because he felt the Jewish system was right? No. But he said, I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, what? Sin revived and I died. It wasn't the law necessarily that killed him, but the law brought about the death because he said, now when the law revealed the sin and I saw what it was and what God said, he said, it slayed me. What? The sin slayed me. That which God would destroy me for sin, the wage of sin is death. That's what the law revealed. Now, I love this. And you go with me. And he said, the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. The very thing that could brought life if it could have been kept did not bring life. Why? Because no one kept it. And therefore, the very thing that could bring life, it could be kept in God's sight. Since it was not kept, it brought death. Then he comes over and says again, he says, for sin, taking the occasion by the commandment, the nature of sin takes the occasion, that's the opportunity, by the commandment, he said, deceived me and by it slew me. When you look in Romans chapter 3 and verse 19 again, I read to you. 19 says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and the world may become guilty before God. Amazing. Lines up right here in this verse of what that does when the law comes into existence in one's heart and mind. Then he says in verse 12, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy, just and good. I like that. You know what Paul's saying? God is saying, listen to me. Whatever you come out with this thing that I'm teaching now, the law is holy and good and right and pure. It's all that. It will never be anything other than that. That's the reason it can condemn us, because it manifests as sin. In essence, sin is what condemns us. You remember reading James 1 last week? What happens when it comes? here's how it works, and the law reveals this to us. James put it this way. He said, but if a man is tempted when he's drawn away in his own lust and enticed, that is, bait put out by Satan, and then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. That is, when lust comes in to be formed or begins to develop in one's life, that's conceived. Like a child being conceived in a mother's womb. Well, lust being conceived in someone's heart, taking form in that heart, coming out in some form or fashion, in turn that shows that it's not something that may be normal. He said, and sin when it is finished, when finished is sin. He said, listen, the law shows what sin is, and when sin is finished, what is it? What does it say? Bringeth forth death. So it's obvious what Paul is talking about here. He said, it's whole. You may think, well, that's the law is a dangerous thing. It kills. No. God says, I'm showing you what sin is. It sins is what's deadly. Sin, because if you could keep the law, it'd give you life. But since you can't keep it, it's got to be paid for when it's broken. And the law does not pay for itself. And you cannot pay for it. But I want to tell you one who did. And that's Jesus Christ. Now, watch. He said, wherefore the law is holy. Now, verse 13. Was this that which is good made unto death? You mean to tell me you think the law was, which is good was made unto death? God forbid. Away with that thought. The law is still holy and pure and right, he said. But sin, there he comes. The sin that the law reveals, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. In other words, that commandment should show you what really is wrong and what is sinful, what is wickedness, what is iniquity. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And then he says simply this, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, so under sin. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not the Paul, this is not the Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus killing Christians. This is a child of God. This is Saul of Tarsus who became Paul in the New Testament that met Jesus on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. And now, years later, God has given him information to understand really what this Jesus of Nazareth did when he went through that element of the cross and in the tomb was raised and now sitting at the right hand of the Father. It isn't something he just came and done. Now he's just waiting to see how it pans out. He's involved with it from the very time he came until he gets us home. He's involved with us. And it gives a tremendous truth to see. And so he said, before natural death frees a partner from their mate, so being crucified with Christ sets the believer free from the law of God. And Galatians 3:24 tells us that that law is the schoolmaster that God used to bring us to Jesus Christ. In other words, that law is what God used to show that we were sinful and we needed a Savior. It shows us we couldn't pay it ourselves, but he paid it for us. And when we believe the record of God's Son in John 5, read the record of God's Son, and we receive Christ as our personal Savior. When he comes in, it's a birth. It's not a religious turnover. It's not a new leaf. It's not joining the church. You're not becoming a better person. It's a birth. And then these qualities come after that. And that's the reason it's so important that we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, so we can understand a little bit about what this life is about. And what he's telling us, our schoolmaster, shows us how much we need the Savior. In other words, the breaking of that law and the convicting power of that, of the Spirit of God when it is broken, because now we have the Spirit of God in this world that does that, it shows us how much we need the Savior and why people should not turn him down. But most of this world does. We go out this week, most people that we'll talk to probably will turn him down because the first time they hear it, they just don't accept it. There's too many. God is such a good God that he's got many ways to him. After all you religious people say yours is the only way. Right? Now, ladies and gentlemen, wouldn't it be something that why we should say, Lord, they may be true. Please help me find the right way. Lord, I don't, you know, they may be true. Help me find the right way. And I found this out. I thank God I had a advantage maybe of being in the Bible Belt. I found this out, that this book had the record and showed you the right way. Amen. And it's worthy of our acceptance and studying it. Without Christ, let's sum this up, and then we're going to look in verse 14-15 through the rest of this, because, ladies and gentlemen, this is amazing to me. Now he begins to show himself. This is Paul. Some people usually say, well, that's the reason I do what I do. I just don't worry about anything, just live the way I want to live. He doesn't give us a lease on life to live like we want to live. We're to live like God wants us to live. And that's what he's showing us. So we have, why the battle is so low, why the pain is so hard, because you find that there's a battle going on all the time. And the whole situation here is we find that sin is not just wrong, it's wicked. It's condemning. And Paul uses his I all through this. I. He talks about himself and the battle that's going on. I love this because this shows us. You could put ourselves there if you really understood what he's saying, because this is what happened to us too. God cannot transform the old nature. We're not to be conformed to this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that comes in Romans 12:1-2 through God's word. God cannot transform the old nature. God's law cannot transform the old nature. God's law can only activate it activate the old nature through the law. God's law can't change us at all, but it shows that we need changing. But God's grace can through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so sin showed that it shows just how sinful sin is, but sin is never eradicated by the law. The only thing that can get us exempt of the curse of the law is that Jesus paid the debt. And we accept that. And Paul is having a problem now with self in the latter part of these verses as he deals with this same thing. Just give an introduction quickly. Without Christ, God deals with us with his law. Without Christ, God, hey, the great white throne judgment, great white throne judgment in Revelation. When people stand there and those books are open, books is the plural open, and they're judged out of those books, then God's law will be there to show that they're condemned because those deeds were evil and the law condemns them. And the thing about it is, God's law is affected in showing us what sin is. So without Christ, God deals with his law with those people. But in Christ, God deals with us in his Holy Spirit through his word, according to Romans chapter 7, and we see down about verse 6. Because he tells us there, but watch this. Now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were led, were held, that we should what? Serve the newness of the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit living in us through the word of God, serving God, and not in the oldness of the letter, which has to do with the law. God's law does not force us to do anything, but it shows us who we are without Christ. And Paul said, as he went into this, I do not understand. Now this is Apostle Paul, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to what he said, and next week we get there. Paul is saying, in my words, and I'll read this over and over again, be like that I would say, I guess that he said, I do not understand why I act the way I do. I don't do what I know is right all the time. And yet, I do the things that I hate. Paul said, I hate that evil. I hate that which is wrong. And he lays this out. You read these verses for this week and see and ask God to help you understand what Paul has said. And put yourself there and you're rejoiced, folks, because God is saying, you can't use this as a crutch to go against God. But God has said, I know who you are and what's happening in your life if you're serving me. You're going to reap things you never thought you'd reap of this wicked world. You may not have to be crucified like my son, but you're going to get everything thrown at you can be thrown at you. And sometimes, Satan, I wonder if it's worth it. But he's saying it is, because he shows us where the victor is at. God's law affects all of us. And when we see in chapter 7 and start down, he's talking to saved and unsaved. Saved is free from the law due to sin, debt been paid. And here we try to establish the law. We can't keep it in its entirety, but we do try then turn that we'll establish it or present it so that it with God's help, not to break it or do those things that may be, you know, that would be wrong. In other words, we know what the law means now. And we're not got to keep it to be saved, but because we are saved, we don't want to break it, because anyone who intentionally breaks God's law grieves the heart of God. And anyone who believes God tries their best to serve God. And realize there are some things, ladies and gentlemen, you and I get into, we cannot get out to save our lives, and we have to throw ourselves on the mercy of God's court and ask God to bless us and help us and forgive us. And I'm glad to say, based on what I see Paul has said, he does that, because I don't live a lot to see how bad I can live. I ask God to help me live the cleanest life I can for his glory and help me in my weakness. And you'll find you'll be that way until you die. That's what this latter part of this chapter says before we get to Romans chapter 8. And he tells us what has happened. What has happened to us in Christ. Father, thank you for the precious word of God. And Lord, I'm just as in between while I'm studying otherwise. But I believe you led this way, because these two few chapters really shows the meat of God's word. And if we understand what God is saying. And Lord, I'd be honest with you, I don't see how anybody can read these chapters and come up with anything else as much as I've dissected these in the last few weeks. Lord, it is obvious that Paul is using the law of God to show what has happened in Jesus Christ, whereas now we're not married to the law of God. God has showed us that we're saved through Jesus Christ in the newness of the Spirit now we walk, and try our best to establish it for your glory. And even there, find that, Lord, there are things we don't have it all together yet, and we have to trust you. Some people have a few things on the wall and they say, if I don't do this and I do this, it all matters. Lord, I find out there's a whole lot more attitudes and the way we deal with things in life and what we think and how we use the thinking process and the words. Lord, we're held so much guilty that we'd have to come to you all the time, as Jesus talked about. We confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanses our sins of all unrighteousness. And the Lord, we realize how much we need you. And that makes anybody, when we see someone who loves us, then we can't help but love them. And even though we may have problems at times, we try our best to please them. And we thank you for that. Help us grow here, Lord, and grow to the place that we attain some things in turn that we might, our lives might do better for you. For your glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.